And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court, and we're going to talk about Satanism, interestingly, and we're going to talk more about the KGB, and we're actually going to play some more audio from Yuri Bezmenov, the former KGB informant who tried to warn the United States of America decades ago through G. Edward Griffin, the great, great researcher, Griffin, who goes back to the 1960s and 70s, researching globalism and communism and socialism in our country. And he's done a number of very important interviews. One of them is with this former KGB informant, Yuri Bezmenov. But somebody sent me a story earlier in the week because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Justice Ginsburg has passed away. And, you know, we are not among those. I mean, I have to tell you, watching this on Fox News and listening to the absurd laudation from Fox News and all of these people on Fox showing up and they're saying, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she had an amazing career and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's just, and they're all going out of their way to talk about what an icon Ruth Bader Ginsburg was. And I'm thinking, are you kidding? You realize everything that they're saying about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you could say about Hitler, Stalin, Lenin. You could say about Fidel Castro, Che Guevara, all of these evil, wicked, depraved communists who have been responsible for the destruction and ruin of civilization to a greater or lesser extent. And here Ruth Bader Ginsburg sat on the U.S. Supreme Court as an evil influence, just giving evil counsel. She helped usher in gay marriage. She was this supporter of abortion, making sure that abortion so-called rights would be carried out in our country. The only difference between Adolf Hitler and Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the media. That's it. Hitler is trashed by the media for killing 6 million Jews, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg is celebrated even though she supported the mass killing of tens of millions of unborn and partly born children in our country. That's the only difference between them. Then you have what I consider to be the greatest offense, which is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was specifically responsible for the removal of the phrase "in the year of our Lord" from Supreme Court documents. Now, we don't talk about her in the new film, but we talk about the phrase "in the year of our Lord" as part of the U.S. Constitution, and the importance of it being there, and that, yes, there was a discussion at the time about not having that phrase, and our founders specifically included the phrase in our documents, and it's there for a reason. And if anybody ever tries to tell you that the phrase is, well, it's just a tradition, it doesn't mean anything, you think about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you think about the fact that she went out of her way to have that phrase removed. If it meant nothing, she wouldn't have cared. Okay? She would not have cared. But she did care, and she wanted it removed. And why? Because of her rebellion against God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. Now, you're going to see in our new film, The True Christian History of America, which right now is undergoing its mastering process and duplication. The copies are scheduled to be sent out here in October. In fact, doing all of this finishing work on it is the reason why I haven't been recording programs here for the last week and a half. I've been in the editing underground, as I call it, which is something that happens every time I have to finish a project like that. But it's just a lot of work, and you'll see here as we're getting ready to get it out there. But you're going to see our interview with Dr. Herb Titus, who now is a Harvard-trained lawyer. Bear this in mind. And Dr. Titus is also a Christian. And he explains and he defends and argues the presence of the phrase "in the year of our Lord" in the U.S. Constitution. And when you hear his explanation for how the founding documents of our country, the Declaration and the Constitution itself, are written, I mean, it's really quite remarkable, the very strong, historic, Bible-based Christian influence of the founding documents. The problem is that they were written in such a way to be minimalist because they wanted to avoid denominational conflicts. And as a result, now, more than 200 years later, people don't understand the language anymore. And what they're teaching in the schools is something completely different and, quite frankly, blatantly dishonest, which is something that we're going to prove to you in this new film. But remember Ruth Bader Ginsburg for that, removing the phrase "in the year of our Lord," which I believe discredits not only her, but the U.S. Supreme Court, as long as they operate in denial of the lordship of Christ and the authority of God as our creator over the Constitution of the United States. All right, but now, what are they doing? They're replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg with another judge, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who is a conservative judge. Interestingly, as some of you have already pointed out, she is a Roman Catholic. Well, surprise, surprise. You know, it's just incredible that there seems to be no Protestant evangelical judges out there that can be chosen. I mean, even when they chose, when Trump chose Judge Gorsuch, Gorsuch had been educated at a Jesuit prep school. He's an Episcopalian. Okay, so he's not necessarily Catholic, but he's educated at a Jesuit prep school. Now, Amy Coney Barrett, another Catholic, a conservative, and she is part of this group that is kind of ecumenical, seems almost evangelical, the group that she's catching a lot of heat for, that really joins Christians of all different denominations, including Catholics and Protestant evangelicals and so on. Now, I've only done a little bit of research into that group, but it does seem to sort of soften the Catholic side of her, which it gives her kind of evangelical leanings, if that makes any sense. But I still don't know enough about the group. But she herself is very conservative. Her record is outstanding in terms of her own academic record as a Rhodes Scholar, as a top student, and so on. Nobody seems to be able to argue with her credentials. One thing that I think is positive about her being a conservative is her stand on the Second Amendment. She is very, very strong on the Second Amendment. So strong, in fact, that she believes it is such a fundamental right that it should not be denied felons who are non-violent. And the thing to remember, there are all sorts of felony crimes out there that don't necessarily have anything to do with violence or anything like that. And the case that everybody's quoting right now, this is an article from the newrepublic.com that talks about Judge Barrett's record. And the headline says, "Amy Coney Barrett wants felons to have guns, but not votes." So she doesn't necessarily support having them vote. But her dissent on a certain case. And here's what the article says. It says, quote, "Ricky Cantor was the owner and proprietor of a Wisconsin firm that specialized in therapeutic footwear. In 2004, he submitted a selection of therapeutic shoe inserts to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to review, et cetera." And then it goes on. Ultimately, he was charged as a result of what he did with mail fraud. Okay, he pleaded guilty to a single felony count. He served his time, but then because he was a convicted felon, he is then excluded from the right to keep and bear arms. Okay, so he, after he got out of prison, obviously, sued the United States and the state of Wisconsin to challenge the provision that forbids him from owning a firearm, arguing that they violated the Second Amendment. Federal District Court rejected his claims in 2018, and then a three-judge panel in the 7th District upheld the lower court's ruling in a 2-1 decision in March of 2019. The lone dissenting judge was Barrett, this new nominee that Trump has chosen. It says, quote, in a 38-page dissent, she argued that history and practice from the founding era showed that the framers did not intend to deny gun ownership to all felons, just those who could be dangerous. And then here's a quote from Judge Barrett. She said, quote, neither Wisconsin nor the United States has introduced data sufficient to show that disarming all nonviolent felons substantially advances its interest in keeping the public safe. And then she goes on from there. And she basically argues that when you have nonviolent felons over these kind of white-collar crimes, like mail fraud or something, and there's a whole variety of crimes like that, that there's no constitutional reason for denying them the right to keep and bear arms once they're released. And people are saying that if she is appointed, if she becomes the new justice for the court, she could reshape the interpretation of the Second Amendment and make it even stronger than it has been. Apparently, she's getting strong support from the NRA, which is not surprising. But now, you know, I want to take a few minutes here to talk a little bit more about this whole Ruth Bader Ginsburg thing, because the left, as we've seen, they're going through the roof. They're now just psychotic episodes. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was, you know, like the judicial Jezebel for them, an icon of left-wing evil ideology. And the situation is so bad. Somebody sent me this article earlier in the week from Huffington Post, and they had a guest writer named Jamie Smith. Huffington Post now, well-known radical left-wing publication, cited all the time. And here's the headline, quote, "The death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg pushed me to join the Satanic Temple," end quote. To join the Satanic Temple. And she says this, the writer says, quote, "I am a 40-something attorney and mother who lives in a quiet neighborhood with a yard and a garage full of scooters and soccer balls. I am not the type of person who would normally consider becoming a Satanist, but these are not normal times." Then she goes on to talk about how she says, quote, "When I learned of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing, my first reaction was not grief, but fear. I fear that American citizens are inching closer to living in a theocracy or dictatorship, and that the checks meant to prevent this from happening are close to eroding beyond repair." And then she goes on to say she knew that action was needed on a scale we've not seen before. And so what's the action? She's going to become a Satanist? They want to bring in Satanism as the solution to a conservative, Christian, Bible-based American patriotism, which is really what our country was founded on. This is why it's so important that we reclaim our history, because our founders never intended, I mean, even the worst of them, even those who were the most heretical, if you had said to one of them that somehow or other they were trying to justify Satanism or make Satanism equal with Christianity, they would have utterly rejected any such suggestion. I really do believe that, even though I am critical of some of the theology that they had and that they wrote about and things like that. There's no question. But the idea that they would somehow or other be supporting Satanism, witchcraft, I simply don't accept that argument. All right, let's go to our commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this article, and we're going to listen to some more from a former KGB informant when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madryn Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the whole controversy with the U.S. Supreme Court, the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Justice Ginsburg has passed. There's a new nominee from President Trump. I think she will probably be confirmed because of her credentials and her very, very strong conservative standing. She's getting a lot of support from the conservative community. But now there's this article from a woman who claims to be an attorney and says that the death of Justice Ginsburg compelled her to go join the Satanic Temple. She says she knew immediately that action was needed on a scale we have not seen before. She says, quote, "Our democracy has become so fragile that the loss of one of the last guardians of common sense and decency in government, less than 2 months before a pivotal election, has put our civil and reproductive rights in danger like never before. And so," she says, quote, "I have turned to Satanism," end quote. That's literally what she says in this article. It's unbelievable. But the Satanic Temple has been fighting for abortion rights for years. In fact, here's a little bit of audio from a story about the Satanic Temple and abortion rights from back in 2016. Listen.
"I would say that we employ radical political theater to draw attention to the absurdity of the pro-life movement.
The Satanic Temple is an activist organization of self-identified Satanists, founded in 2013 as a reaction to the increasing influence of the religious right in American politics.
We're so used to the theocratic agenda being pushed forward in bills and legislation, it's become a fact of life in the American culture right now.
We empower women to be creative about protecting their own freedoms and access to reproductive health.
In 2015, the group filed a lawsuit seeking exemption from recently introduced abortion laws in Missouri on the grounds of religious freedom. Through the suit, they are appropriating the tactics of the religious right to advance their cause.
If we're asking for religious rights for all, then we need to actually understand what that means. And that means religious rights for Satanists as well."
All right, so that is what is going on now with the Church of Satan or the Temple of Satan. These are the same people, by the way, if you watch the whole presentation there, and the leader and all of this. These are the same people who put this statue together of the Baphomet with the two children standing on either side. And it's the Eliphas Levi rendering of Satan or the Baphomet, which, as I've said before, once you understand all the symbolism there, that is a symbol for ecumenism, the idea of all religions being one and the same. And there's the theology of that, but then there's also the politics of it. And that, I believe, political ecumenism is the great danger for America and I think for Western civilization. They're chiefly using it right now to advance Islam, to have Muslims sitting in offices of government, practicing law, sitting as judges. Now the mayor of London is a Muslim. We've got Muslims in our Congress, etc. They want to advance Islam politically to employ it, I believe, as a weapon against Christianity in the Western world. But also with that, you've got the promotion of outright Satanism, outright devil worship. And of course, they use this Hegelian back and forth where they say, oh, it's not really Satanism, it's atheism, supposedly. But we all know that's simply not the case. So this takes us into the idea of ideological subversion, which is one of the tactics of communists when they work to take over a country. And we're going to listen now to another audio clip from the former propagandist for the KGB, Yuri Bezmenov. Yuri Bezmenov, who defected from Soviet Russia to Canada and is interviewed by G. Edward Griffin before he passed away back in the 90s. And anyway, you can find his interview at Amazon on a DVD, and the DVD is called Deception Was My Job, The Testimony of Yuri Bezmenov, Propagandist for the KGB. But he talks about the systemic ideological subversion of a country and how it works. Basically, what he says is they teach people that evil is good and good is evil. Listen.
Your Hollywood producers are so crazy about James Bond. But in reality, the main emphasis of the KGB is not in the area of intelligence at all. According to my opinion and opinion of many defectors of my caliber, only about 15% of time, money, and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process, which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The result you can see, most of the people who graduated in the 60s, dropouts or half-baked intellectuals, are now occupying the positions of power in the government, civil service, business, mass media, educational system.
And many of those people that he's describing are still serving in the government of the United States. Just go type in and look up the longest serving members of Congress. Now, we all know that people like Nancy Pelosi have been serving more than 30 years. Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, all of these guys have been serving decades in Congress. But there are many, many others who have been serving for more than 30 years. And they were raised up in an education system where they were systematically brainwashed for decades by Marxist, communist, ideological subversion. And that has, I believe, and of course we've talked about this before with the Rees Committee back in the 1950s that discovered how this whole program was initiated in the 1920s. It fits in completely with what Yuri Bezmenov is telling us in this interview. And it's incredible. We're watching all of this now. Approximately 100 years of systematic subversion through the education system is coming to some kind of a conclusion. We don't know exactly where it's headed. We're not sure exactly what's going to happen. We are hoping and praying the Lord will intervene somehow so that our country can be rescued from socialism, communism, and Sharia law. We hope that that's going to happen, but we will have to wait and see. But think about the fact that these long-running members of Congress that have been in the U.S. Congress for 20, 30, 40 years, what have they been leading our country towards? They have, throughout their lives and their careers, ultimately been overseeing the systematic changes in our country that have ushered in the rise of socialism and full-blown communism that we're watching even today. That is probably the number one reason why term limits are needed for people in government, that they simply cannot be allowed to amass that much power over such a long period of time. But as believers in Christ, we lift it up to God, we lift our eyes to heaven, and we trust that our redemption draweth nigh. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We will stop it there, but we'll be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.